Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Hey guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. US, you can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, BetUS has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football. Continue to preview tomorrow's biggest games. We've talked UF and Alabama. We've talked Penn State and Auburn coming up in about 10 minutes. First-time guest, but a guy that I know his work quite a bit, J.P. Shadrick, who is doing play-by-play. He works with Gino Toretta, Touchdown Radio, and doing play-by-play tomorrow night on the actually, it's high noon, yeah, with Miami and Michigan State tomorrow. And so we'll be talking a little bit about the U. And really one of the biggest questions that I think anybody in college football could have is De'Aaron King and his status right now. He's been okay. That's it. Too many turnovers. He's completing a lot of passes, but he's not throwing a lot of passes, and a lot of them are short, and the receivers aren't doing him any favors. So we will continue to dot all the bigger games, but coming up in about 10, again, J.P. Shadrick, who's on the call with Miami and Michigan State tomorrow. I think it's high noon, so we will do that in about 10. Right now, let me get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, Tennessee junior running back to play tomorrow versus Tennessee Tech. That is the latest out of Knoxville about Tyon Evans. I think I told you about this on Wednesday. And he is a big part of what they want to get done on Rocky Top this year, no doubt about it. He is a guy that... as a little bit of a bigger back, and to replace the kind of talent they lost in Chandler and Gray, they are thinking at least two backs and don't want to get as far down as Beckwith, I guess. So if Evans is confirmed, earlier in the week it was they were hopeful, and as we're now 24 hours from kickoff, he is expected to play. One of my favorite players going to be missing, and there might not be five players who watch this team or who really follow this player, but he's really exciting. Headline, Kansas State starting quarterback Thompson continued to be sidelined. Skylar Thompson continued to be sidelined with a knee injury. Will Howard is going to be the starter, and he struggled against Southern Illinois, that's for sure. Skylar Thompson, just a fun quarterback. And Kansas State right now is is going to miss him, that's for sure. Final headline, and this, and we were talking to Anthony Richardson on the hamstring. He's practiced all week. He's supposed to play tomorrow. Dan Mullen has even moved past it in a casual manner. He's like, nothing really to talk about. He's out there doing his thing. Again, will he play? Will he be limited? Final note I want to give today, and this is just kind of a fun thing for, I'm telling you, a really good kid. Pro Football Focus has released their latest mock draft, but it's the listing of prospects in order. Liberty redshirt senior quarterback Malik Willis, number one ranked quarterback prospect for next year, and really lights it up rushing and receiving. 6'1", 215 pounds by the press guide. I wonder what he would be in person in Indianapolis. And he's been as good as advertised to start the season, so good for him. You have to imagine that Thibodeau coming back from injury, Stingley, that's who you're going to be looking at the top of the draft board. And if Malik Willis is there, good for him. Pretty good thing to be a quarterback and draft first overall, no doubt about that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with Miami and Michigan State. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
We continue previewing the biggest games in college football for the weekend, the games of interest you have. And I'm a little more impressed with Miami and Michigan State, both teams tomorrow. Again, they get after it high noon down in South Florida. I'm a little more impressed with both of those teams tomorrow than a lot of folks. Michigan State, if you're not impressed, if you're not more impressed than you were 14 days ago, it's because, and I'm not, this is not like an accusation or anything, it's because you hadn't paid attention to them. And I get that you haven't started the season by doing deep drill downs on Michigan State. They're a lot better than I thought, or at least potentially. And then Miami, the reason I'm impressed is De'Aaron King has not been special this season. He's been okay. But I'm impressed because we've detailed, before the opener, we detailed how teams don't just lose to Alabama in the week one neutral site paycheck games. Their seasons go flying off the top hill of a roller coaster. All right? That's what happens when you lose to Alabama. And Appy is good. And Miami was able to hang on against a really good opponent and get that dub. It's one of those where after you play Bama, you just kind of, you know, catch your breath, try to get your legs, make it to the end of the round. I want to welcome on now, guy on the call tomorrow again down in South Florida, high noon kick for Miami and Michigan State. It is J.P. Shadrick. J.P., how are you, brother?
Great, Chuck. It's great to be on with the King, finally. And I've listened to you off and on for a long time, and great to be on your program. Thank you.
My goodness, how nice. Well, I want to ask you, tell me I wasn't being un-Southern, I wasn't being rude talking about De'Aaron King. I think he's just been kind of okay so far, and I know he's a special player, but he hasn't been special the first 2 weeks.
Well, you know, hearing Manny Diaz talk this week, it feels like they're pressing a bit on offense. They've had some drops. You know, De'Aaron King's only going to be as good as the guys around him, too. He can do some things with his legs, but he can't do it all. Yeah. You got to have guys like Mike Harley there, a senior wide receiver, make catches. He had a drop or two last week. Charleston Rambo, the transfer in from Oklahoma, had a bunch of catches against Alabama in week one. They need those guys available and out there and catching footballs for you. Will Mallory, they feel like it's a priority to get the tight end involved this week. He had a drop last week, uncharacteristic. And then once they got into App State territory last week, they just kind of flattened out a bunch of times. They were in just across the 50 and couldn't finish drives for whatever reason, one or another. So is it that maybe they're just trying to press a bit and move ahead, and it's just maybe too much? Just lay back, play some Miami football, hand the ball to Cameron Harris, let Derek King run off that if he needs to, and make the throws when they're there. And I think this could be a week for that, because I think it's a pretty good matchup for them. They have an offense that can play. It's just you got to calm down and play football.
You mentioned Cameron Harris, and he's a pretty good back. He's a pretty tough back, I believe. But Don Chaney Jr. is now out for the rest of the year. Do any of the freshman running backs start to get a little run?
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to give two guys a chance behind Harris. Cody Brown, the freshman from Lilburn, Georgia, and Thad Franklin. He's from West Park, Florida, so he's a bigger guy, about 240 pounds. So two different styles of freshman back. But Cameron Harris is the guy. I mean, he's a junior now. You know, he's got a touchdown this season. He went over 600 last year with 10 scores. He's kind of their workhorse. He's been their guy for a couple years. So if Harris is not out there, I think that's a big problem for Miami. If they lose another one, that's the other thing. If they lose somebody on offense, one of those other playmakers or Harris, then this thing really – you talk about a roller coaster going downhill just a moment ago. That's when it might not come back up from the bottom of the hill if they start losing weapons on offense here.
You were mentioning – you mentioned Mike Harley in particular, and he's an upperclassman, and I think there's always more on them for focus and, you know, just paying attention, for gosh sakes. But you mentioned the drops, and that has been the case. Just give me a flyover of their three or four who play the most. Restrepo? He looks interesting.
He had a catch last week. He had three catches against Alabama in that game and got open over the middle a good bit. It felt like there were times in an Alabama game where they actually got the ball downfield. They haven't been able to do that in the intermediate passing game since then, but Restrepo was a big piece of that. Freshman from Coconut Creek, Florida, and Deerfield Beach High School, and they put out some good players over the years there. He's another one. Keyshawn Smith's another guy to watch, a freshman from San Diego, and he played a little bit last year. Of course, he gets the free year with the COVID year, so he played in 8 games a season ago. They're getting him the ball a little bit. 8 catches so far this year. He's 6'1", 188. So these guys, you know, he's 6'1", Rambo's 6'1", 185, but the other guy's hard. Harley is 5'11", Restrepo's 5'10". They have some different size receivers they can kind of work into the mix here.
Will Mallory, I know what I think about him. That's a big old square target there. I mean, he looks Sunday all the way. Talk about his season to this point.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He's 6'5", 245. He can run a little bit. He is from Jacksonville and, you know, comes from a lineage of football coaches ahead of him and his family. You know, his father was a longtime special teams coach for the Saints and the Jaguars and was a longtime college assistant in D.C. And his grandfather was the winningest coach in Indiana history. That's a while ago. But Mallory's kind of making his own name now. And remember last year, Brevin Jordan was the guy at Miami. Yep. And he had some injury issues last year. He was a fifth-round pick by the Texans. So he's gone. And his 13 career touchdowns are out of there. He had 7 scores last year. But there was a stretch last season, Chuck, where Mallory played 3 straight games in his place and had 10 catches, 187 yards, and 3 touchdowns. If he can catch that kind of fire again, they've got something. And they like the other guy, too. The freshman Elijah Arroyo, he's getting some play also. If they can get those working in, maybe that intermediate passing game can come back for Derek King, because, boy, it's been missing the last week or so.
You may know him from the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars. You may know him from college football on Saturday afternoons. That will be this weekend in Miami with Michigan State, and Miami's J.P. Shadrick we're talking with. Just a couple of more questions. Defensively, how do they generate the pass rush this week? Because, like I said, Michigan State's been better than I was expecting out of the gate.
Yeah, it's a good one. You know, I'm curious what this Michigan State team, how they approach this thing. I think you still pound the football. I mean, Kenneth Walker didn't get a lot of play last week. They were working in some other guys to get him some work against Youngstown State. But you still got to run the football. And Peyton Thorne, I think, has some weapons to throw the ball around to. It's just a matter on Miami's defense. This is a veteran group. You got to remember, 19 of 22 starters for Miami are back from last year. Now, it's a team that underperformed at the end, and they had some things, but there's a lot of veteran presence on this team, and that includes up front with Zach McCloud, and Jafari Harvey is now in his second year. DeAndre Johnson, the Tennessee transfer. Everybody left Tennessee and went everywhere else. DeAndre Johnson is one of those, playing defensive end and getting a little playing time early. They've got a little issue at linebacker. Keontre Smith, likely not available. Wayman Steed came in last week and played at will in his place and played about three-quarters of the game. And they've got a really good secondary. I think that's the best part of their defense, in fact, Chuck, is Bubba Bolden's probably their best player. He got ejected from Alabama
early.
The Alabama game with the safety there. Hit the running back late. But he's a good player. DJ Ivey's a corner. And I think if Michigan State is forced into some of those passing situations, the third and longer, then that's trouble. If you got a younger quarterback throwing it up against a veteran secondary, I think that would get. Don't forget about Tyreek Stevenson, the Georgia transfer. He's also a corner and got a lot of playing time so far for Miami. They have guys that can go get the football, and I think that's why Michigan State probably is trying to, in my opinion, probably should keep it on the ground to see if they can establish the run with their running back, who could be, so far, I think he's the best player in the Mel Tucker era at Michigan State. He's showing it early this season. Just got to show it in big moments. And I think that's really the key for Michigan State, too. They've played two blowout games, Northwestern, Youngstown State. They haven't been in a slugfest where they're on the road in somewhat of a hostile environment. It's not, Tiger Stadium, but it's whatever. It's on the road in the ACC, and it's hot. And everything's going on, and that's a pretty good football team, and you're in the fourth quarter. That's what we'll find out about Mel Tucker's team, I think, this week.
Last thing, and you mentioned him. I want you to go back, drill down a little on Keontre Smith. That's a good-looking young player. I like him. And he's more linebacker-ish. He plays closer to the line, and he's out now for a few weeks, isn't he?
Yeah, that's unfortunate for them because he put together nine tackles this year. They've got a striker position on their team, and he's a guy that he's 5'11", 205, and can kind of hide behind guys, and here he comes, and he can go back and play some safety if needed. That's a loss for them. Amari Carter is playing a lot of that spot also, senior from Riviera Beach, Florida, and so they've got some guys there, some guys that have some experience. It is a loss for them because he had a good start to the season, but they do have other guys in there that can jump in and take his spot. Now, when he comes back, we'll see what the record is at that point. Just to jump ahead here, this feels like a really big game for Manny Diaz. I mean, and you got to remember, too, this is the 30th anniversary celebration this weekend for the 1991 National Championship team at Miami.
Yep.
They're all back. And if you know anything about those late 80s, early 90s Miami teams, you know this. They chirp. They talk. Those alumni players are all back this weekend, and they don't want to see Miami lose to App State, or nearly lose to App State, or lose, or potentially lose to Michigan State. And they probably won't be quiet about that. I think there's a lot of pressure on Manny Diaz to get this win for Miami, certainly in general anyway, but when it's 1-1 and could be 0-2 facing 0-3 in the face, there's some pressure coming up for Manny. They got to get it done.
Oh, I don't think you're inventing that at all. I'm thinking back, and it's been across many coaches. The last game at the Orange Bowl, some of the blowout losses, Clemson, Virginia, there was a year. You're absolutely spot on about the former players. They do exercise their right to express themselves. JP, appreciate you carving out some time, brother. Thank you so much, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Let's do it again soon, Chuck.
Yes, sir. JP Chadrick again, Touchdown Radio. Normally working with Gino Toretta, but as he said there, Gino is going to be on the field, and he's going to be part of that 91 celebration. That was what Howard Schnellenberger started. I think his first year was 79 or 80. But what he – no, it's 79 because they went to a Peach Bowl versus Virginia maybe. Jim Kelly, I believe, played in the Peach Bowl with Miami versus Virginia, and that was already Schnellenberger. So what he started, though, when he basically saved the program from being shut down, because it could have been shut down. In fact, there was no real reason to not shut it down other than, well, Schnellenberger was a hero with the Dolphins in 72. Let's let him run the team. And so in 83, you got a national championship. And then you had a little step back the next year. But by 86, you were in the – 2 years later – you're in the undefeated regular season, Bennis. And while you won't find a single list anywhere of the greatest college football teams ever that includes 1986 Miami Hurricanes, brother, go look at the 1986 Miami Hurricanes. They just had fun with teams. They were annoyed by some teams, other teams. They just had a ball out there, just running, doing whatever. They were just piling up points. And then they lost their bowl game, and it was 1-2 in the Fiesta Bowl, and they got beat 14-10. Vinny Testaverde wins a Heisman Trophy and then throws 5 interceptions. 5 interceptions in 60 minutes against college defenders after winning the Heisman Trophy. So as great a team as ever, and then off with Dennis Erickson and everybody else after that.
Huge college and pro football weekend ahead. Hi, I'm Dan Matthews, and let's get a look at some odds brought to you by BetUS. Let's start with Michigan State at number 24, Miami. Noon kick in South Florida. Hurricanes, 6-point favorite, minus 225 on the money line. Spartans are plus 185, over-under 56.5. Number 3, Oklahoma, home for Nebraska. Sooners giving 22.5. They're minus 1,800 money line. Huskers, plus 1,000. Over-under 62. Mississippi State on the road at Memphis. Bulldogs are just a 3-point favorite. Tigers are plus 145 on the money line. Over-under 64 and a hook. Number 22, Auburn at number 10, Penn State. Nittany Lions are a 5-point favorite. Penn State minus 190 on the money line. Auburn plus 165. Over-under 52 and a half. Number 1, Alabama in the swamp, taking on number 11, Florida. Tide favored by 14 and a hook. Bama minus 650 on the money line. Gators plus 475. Over under 60 points. In the NFL, Titans are out west, taking on the Seahawks. Seattle home favorite at 6. Tennessee plus 225 on the money line. Seahawks minus 265, over-under is 54 Sunday night. Chiefs at Ravens. Kansas City is a road favorite at 3.5. Chiefs are minus 190 money line. Ravens plus 165, over-under is 55. Want to make some money? Do it very easily when you enter the following promo codes on BetUS.com. How about SST125? With this promo code, you get 125% of a sign-up bonus. For example, you deposit $100, you're getting an extra $125. How about cryptocurrency? SST200 with this promo code. That is 200% on a sign-up bonus for crypto deposits. For example, that crypto deposit, $100, you're getting $200 extra. This is all courtesy of BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Well, I already knew it was a big game, and then I saw, Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson will be there. Well, it really is a big game. Number one team in America, Alabama, and I may be saying that in January. Number one team in America, Alabama, they're on the road going to the Swamp to play the Florida Gators. And it is it's a team that can beat them. It absolutely is. There are issues. There are question marks. There are challenges for Florida. Some of it's injury. Some of it is how do we fit together right now. But whether it's a hamstring or an offensive line, it's not a get-right scenario. This is not you're playing a team with a hyphen. This is not a paycheck game where, you know what, we're going to get everybody healthy and that guy that, he's a little injured on defense, maybe he'll come back next Saturday. It's just not what it is. It's your shot at the belt, and honestly, you get an SEC loss right now, you still know what you have out there with Georgia Bulldogs. It is a huge, huge, huge Saturday for Florida. It's a big opportunity. For Alabama, it's just danger. That's all it is, because they're supposed to win on the road against a good team by two touchdowns. That's what Las Vegas says. So every week there's a version of that, it seems, for Alabama. Want to welcome on now. Guy does a great job covering them for the Alabama Rival site. Their whole network of sites tremendous. Want to welcome on Tony Tsoukalos. Tony, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, it's good to be on.
You know, I laugh every week when whenever the two deep, whenever the flip card is released by Alabama, they're the only team in America, the only one that I run across, who always lists defense first on the two deep. So let's start.
I didn't notice that.
let's start on defense. Drew Sanders now, he's been able to kind of stretch his legs a little bit, get into the flow of things. That looks like a tough, rugged kid.
Yeah, he is. And he's a kid that, on most teams, he probably would have gotten his opportunity, earlier. I mean, I know he's only a sophomore, but he's a guy that kind of was overshadowed just because of the depth Alabama has at that position. So he's been able to kind of get that opportunity with the injury to Christopher Allen. And let's not forget, this guy was a five-star, four-star kid, depending on what service he used. Definitely a top 100 kid in the nation and a guy that Alabama was really excited about. More of a special teams player for Alabama last year, but now he's getting his chance to start. And I know it was only Mercer, but he had two pass deflections and a pair of tackles and wound his way up on the Players of the Week for Alabama, according to their coaching staff. So he's a guy with a lot of promise, and I know Alabama would like to have Chris Allen back, but Drew Sanders is no consolation prize. I mean, he's a certified baller at the outside linebacker position.
And Chris Allen, I mean, that's kind of an accepted thing now that it's shut down, that he's not coming back at all.
Yeah, I mean, he has that Liz Frank foot fracture that Trey Sanders had, that caused him to miss the whole season. So he's probably not coming back, and that's just unfortunate for him because I think he's a guy that probably could have played his way into a day two draft pick. Who knows? Maybe even if he has a great year, could sneak into the first round. He was a guy with a lot of potential this year, and it's a bummer for him because it was a big draft year for him.
Let's stay on defense. Will Anderson, wow, what a tremendous-looking player. He's got an injury thing as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, it seems like I've written 18 updates on his knee. He took a helmet to the knee against Mercer, kind of a low block that a lot of Alabama fans weren't too happy about. But, he left the game in the third quarter, walked to the locker room. He didn't practice on Monday, but then he's practiced the rest of the week. And yesterday during his weekly radio show, Nick Saban said that Will Anderson's practice on Thursday was the best he's had. So we'll see where they go. I bet you he plays. I mean, whenever Nick Saban gets optimistic about players, they tend to see the field. But like I said, Alabama's got a lot of depth at that outside linebacker position, so they can sprinkle in other guys too. Sanders will be on the other side, but there's also two five-star kids in Chris Braswell and Dallas Turner that if Will Anderson is at all limited, those guys should get big opportunities as well.
Talk two kids so far. Jalen Armour on the opposite ends of the eligibility scale. Jalen Armour Davis and then Kool-Aid McKinstry. Just their roles and how you think their season unfolds.
Yeah, and Jalen Armour Davis missed last game with an injury. Yeah. So did Josh Jobe. Looks like both those guys are going to be back. It'll be interesting, though, because Kool-Aid McKinstry played really well had an interception. So did Marcus Banks, the other guy replacing, you know, Alabama's two replacement starters at cornerback both had interceptions. And so does that put a little pressure on Jalen Armour-Davis as he's coming back from injury? I mean, he's going to have a guy like Kool-Aid breathing down his neck. I think that usually tends to produce, you know, heightened levels for both players. I think, you know, having that competition, you know, the iron sharpens iron kind of thing, where, you know, when they're going up against each other and trying to prove each other in practice, I think it makes both players stronger. But that's a position battle that might not be totally done yet. And you could see Kool-Aid make a push for that starting spot moving forward, even when they're both healthy.
All right, let's go up front. One more guy to ask you about. DJ Dale. Now, I'm going to give you the disclaimer. I mean, you play over the center. You're never going to just load up on stats. That's just not how it works. But just general play, I don't know. Why did I feel so much better about him after his freshman year than maybe I do now?
You know, I think it's just because he's just not the sexiest of players, and I think people just forget about him. You mentioned that it's hard to play when you're, you know, being double teamed like that. He hasn't provided that inside pass rush that Alabama's, you know, that's really kind of set the elite players at that position.
He's supposed to be Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, and he's not, because he hasn't gotten that. He hasn't added that inside pass rush, and I think Alabama fans have almost given up on him, and they've kind of turned their attention to Tim Smith, who's a guy who really could provide that. But, you know, during the offseason, DJ Dale, according to the strength and conditioning staff, he added some more explosion. And, look, he was playing with some injuries last year that kind of went under the radar, kind of went unnoticed, and I think that might have hampered him a little bit. We'll see. This is definitely a make-or-break year for him. But I know he's only a junior, so we'll have another year after this. But you're right. You know, there are people that Alabama has recruited that are talented that could pass him up if he doesn't provide that inside pass rush. But he's still a guy that's pretty solid. And in the run game, you know, you can't undervalue what he brings. He might not be getting sacks, and he might not be quite Quinnen Williams. But, I mean, what Quinnen Williams is a third pick of the draft. Yep. So it's hard to find guys like that, you know.
You mentioned Tim Smith, though. I mean, that is a good – and what is he, a sophomore? Good-looking young kid.
Yeah, he's a sophomore. A guy that played a little bit as a freshman year. And that's the thing. That's that Alabama's always going to bring in talent. They brought in Damon Payne, too, another guy as a freshman this year. And these guys are players that are expected to get that inside pass rush. So if DJ Dale can't get that, he's going to have people like Tim Smith breathing down his neck. And Alabama's, you know, that's the same thing for Tim Smith. If Tim Smith comes in, can't get it done, Alabama's going to keep on restocking all these positions. So, you really have to be elite to find a place on this defense. That's why, you know, when Chris Allen, you know, gets injured, Alabama has it, Drew Sanders there waiting in the wings. It's like all these players that are reserves, I mean, they would be stars on several teams. And it's just the depth, and then you just see these recruiting classes and the depth Alabama is able to stock. It's insane, actually.
Last thing, just a couple items on offense. I mean, I look at the running game, and it's been fine. Brian Robinson's been pretty tough, but overall, it's been fine. I got to imagine Nick Saban looks at it and realizes we got to have a lot more, especially as we get into conference play. What's your feeling about how the depth chart will shake out eventually?
Yeah, and I think you're right with saying it's been fine. It hasn't been great, and there's definitely been a loss with you know, the absence of Najee Harris. I kind of think that the three backs that are most likely going to be used are Brian Robinson, Jace McClellan, and Trey Sanders. And it's been in that order. I think you could maybe sprinkle Roydell Williams in there, maybe on blood games. But Alabama doesn't usually go past three backs unless there's an injury or unless it's a blowout. So I think between those three guys, I think you're going to want to see more explosion, though. And maybe that comes from Trey Sanders. But Alabama's biggest run of the season is a 20-yard touchdown by Trey Sanders. They really haven't had that breakout running, you know, those really long runs that maybe you've seen in the past. That's something I think they want to add. I think you got a bruiser with Brian Robinson, and then, you know, I think Jace McClellan can hit some of those big plays. I think Trey Sanders can hit some of those big plays. I mean, Brian can too. It's just it's not necessarily his game. Between those three, that's kind of how I'm seeing it shake out. I think Kamar Wheaton's one for the future. He's definitely a talent, but, you know, between the injury that he's having right now, and I'm not actually sure what that is, but between that and you know, just so much talent, I kind of think he's going to be sprinkled in later on, you know, in his career. It's a good unit. You know, we'll see how it does when the offensive line really gels together. But the only thing that, you know, I guess concerns me right now is that home run threat. We'll see if one of those guys can step up and be that. But that's the only thing I'm looking at that unit and saying, oh, this, it really needs that.
Tony, last question for you. And believe me, I love experience. I value experience at every position. Experience within the program at wide receiver is only so valuable when another guy runs like Jameson Williams and another guy runs like JoJo Earl. Tell me Slade Bolden's spot, you know, on the depth chart there.
Well, I mentioned Jameson Williams a lot this offseason as somebody that Alabama needs to make its offense work. You know, guys like Slade Bolden and guys like John Metchie I'm not saying they're dinosaurs or slow or anything, but they don't have that elite speed that Alabama's had at the position in the past. And so you need a guy like Jameson Williams, but you can't just have one guy that does that. It puts too much pressure on him. So I think having JoJo Earl there, you talk about big plays. I mean, he's a guy, Alabama hasn't made too many big plays in the passing game either. And JoJo Earl's the guy that caught that 39-yard pass from Paul Tyson last week. And he's another guy that can stretch the field along with Jameson Williams. And I think that speed's so important to open up things for John Metchie and Slade Bolden. So I think, you know, between Slade Bolden and JoJo Earl, that, you know, it might be of what Alabama needs. Do they need that more dependable guy over the middle, the more trusted, you know, veteran? Maybe they go with Slade Bolden. Or do they need to stretch the field a little bit more along with Jameson Williams? And do you put in a guy like JoJo Earl who has that electrifying speed and ability to make people miss an open space? And so I think JoJo Earl is going to get played a lot. He's definitely the fourth receiver right now, but I think – It's almost like 3A and 3B with him and with Slade Bolden, and it's really kind of depends on what Alabama needs at the, you know, at that particular moment.
Yeah, I think JoJo Earl is going to be a guy that he'll give you whatever you want. That is a good looking freshman receiver. There's no doubt about it. And there's three others that are waiting their time too.
Punt returner as well too.
Oh, absolutely. They look better in punt return. They looked better last week, didn't they?
Yeah, and look who was returning it. It was JoJo Earl. Yep. I think once they get him that confidence fielding balls, not something he didn't. And it might be more of once Alabama gets confident with him, because I don't think, you know, JoJo Earl did that in high school. I think he's pretty confident doing that. Once Alabama gets comfortable with him behind, doing the punt returns, I think he can offer more than Slade Bolden can, just with his shake and his ability to make people miss. That's who I would go with at punt return.
Yeah, he's special, no doubt. Tony, appreciate it as always, man. Thank you.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on anytime.
All right, Tony Tsoukalos, always appreciate his time. We're going to wrap up on a Friday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
You know, you got a guy that can operate and, you know, looks comfortable doing it, then, you know, I think you can see just some of his maturity. You can see his confidence and his ability, and then obviously his understanding of the system. So those are all the things that I see from Clifford that I'm impressed with.
Auburn head coach Brian Harsin talking about tomorrow night's game. Happy Valley. Auburn goes on the road in the Big Ten for the first time since 1931. Now, they could have played Northwestern last year. Well, no, it was all conference. In 19, could have played Illinois the year before, Michigan State the year before that. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't. It's a different on-the-road environment. But they will win or lose based on how prepared they are. I've seen stadiums figure in before, but it really shouldn't that often for an SEC team, because you kind of see that every single week. You really do. So, again, Brian Harsin, kind of getting ready for what comes over the weekend. And, again, you're talking about an opportunity to really draw attention before the actual conference season ever starts for Auburn. You're talking about an opportunity to get a win that you're not expected to, and then vault yourself after that into a Georgia State at home, and then a five-week draw that includes LSU, Georgia early, Texas A&M. It essentially includes every difficult team on your schedule except for Alabama. That's what you have waiting for you after road trip to Penn State, and then it's a game you're going to win. If you don't, it's like Jacksonville State, FSU sort of stuff. But Georgia State, it's a decent enough program. They have put some players into the NFL. Will Lutz, when he's healthy and kicking for the Saints, Alfred Wilson, wide receiver for the Chiefs, who went down to Miami. They put players in the pros. And now with the transfer portal, Georgia State's a program. See, this is the big loser in all of the transfer portal stuff. I've said it's the what we call Division One, used to FBS level programs at the lower end of the scale. Because ever so often, I just top of mind, and I'm sure, I know they put more players in the pros. I think they had a wide receiver named Robert Davis that wound up in the NFL, but I'm going to say Georgia State's put like 10 guys in the NFL over the past 10 or so seasons, 10-ish seasons that since they started playing college football again, beyond the club level. I talked to Bill Curry. This is a perfect example. I talked to Bill Curry when he first took over that program. And he had identified a quarterback who he said, this guy could play in the SEC, I think. But and I can't remember who the kid was. And it was either he came from a smaller program or he was coming off an injury, or like David Green, who wound up winning more games as a starting quarterback than any QB in SEC history. Do you know, I coach defensive line. I never coached David, but I coached defensive line at the school where David played. We ran the wing T with David Green. David was never going to have great numbers running the wing T, so every so often you'll find a quarterback like that. Well, Bill Curry found one. Do you know what happened in recruiting? This is the evolution of the transfer portal. What happened in recruiting was he identified the kid as like a junior, maybe as at a camp. Well, halfway through his senior year, suddenly the kid who had no offers because he's coming off an injury or his team won two games or, you know, whatever. He has one offer, and it's to Georgia State. And then Bill Curry, halfway through this kid's senior season, after he commits to Georgia State, because that's the only school that plays D1 football that offered him. Well, suddenly he's got I think it was Arkansas and Boston College offered him. If you are committed to a program going into its second or third season at that point, maybe, and they're not good, and they play in mostly an abandoned stadium as far as their fan base is concerned, and then you get offered by Arkansas or Boston College, you ain't going to Georgia State anymore. So it used to be, man, if we could just navigate recruiting without losing our best commitments, if we could just get through the high school football players that we're going to sign without losing the best of the high school players to BC and Arkansas, man, wouldn't that be great? And then ever so often you did. And with a guy like Wilson, for instance, you're winning a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs and then signing a free agent deal with the Dolphins. All right, you stayed with Georgia State under the radar. NFL finds you because they'll find you. And boom, off you go. Will Lutz, kicker at Georgia State. Saints are like, every field's the same. We'll take you. Didn't really matter. It was Georgia State. Didn't matter. All Georgia State had to do was survive the recruiting grind of a bigger program discovering the player. Do you know what Georgia State and every South Alabama, I'll say App State, but so do you know what all these programs, Furman, they all have to survive now. It's not just, you know what? I hope he does sit out the last half of his senior year so nobody will find out. Don't be Josh Jacobs, who was going to Oklahoma State, and he's like, oh, Alabama. The schools at that Arkansas State, it used to be just recruiting. Do you know what it is now? It's once they're on their active roster. Georgia State had a player who led division FBS football in sacks last year. He's at South Carolina now. If you got them into the program, if you were lucky enough to get Khalil Mack to Buffalo, this guy's going to be a beast. How is he only a two-star? Well, he's the best defensive player in college football now, and he's at Buffalo. I could transfer. I'd have to sit out a year. I'll just play my junior year at Buffalo and then go be the fifth overall pick. Khalil Mack? He would have been playing for Notre Dame or Texas or Miami or somewhere else other than Buffalo. Best player in that program's history. It turned out just fine for Khalil. I'm telling you, that's the level of team that loses big time with the portal, and that's who Auburn has after Penn State, and then they jump into, like I said, it's just a wood chipper of a five-week schedule. Dan, what up?
Oh, not much. And you've mentioned this before, and I'll go ahead and take people behind the curtain. Our good buddy Jamie Dukes has been very vocal about how Florida State messed up in not hiring his good friend Deion Sanders, who, of course, is now at Jackson State. Jackson State, by the way, off to a 2-0 start down there. And his son, true freshman quarterback Shadir, Sanders playing really well so far. But, you know, it's so funny that I've heard all these names mentioned this week for USC, and it's like Matt Campbell, nothing against him, but that doesn't do anything for me if I'm an SC fan. Luke Fickell, same deal. I could just go on down the list of all of these coaches that we think about being great for that job, and I'm really kind of shocked and surprised, Chuck, that not one has mentioned Deion Sanders for that job, because you want to talk about the things that USC has not had the last few years. Twofold. Number one, they have not had the buzz around the program that that program needs to have in Los Angeles. It's a town where they say, if you're a star, we'll pay attention to you. They're not a star. Nobody cares about them right now. Their attendance and everything shows you. The other part of it is recruiting. You're telling me that Deion walks into a high school there in the Los Angeles area and Mario Cristobal or Dabo Sweeney or Nick Saban, maybe the last one might have a chance, but any of those other coaches and it's Deion Sanders and the kid's not going to listen to what Deion Sanders tells them about staying in town and playing at USC? Mike Bone in USC, don't overthink this. Go with the man.
Have you seen the latest Aflac commercials, too?
Absolutely. Him
He's
and Nick
mainstream.
Saban. Yeah.
When's the last time you saw the Grambling coach on a national ad? When's the last time you saw a South Carolina State head coach? I can't name a South Carolina head coach in the history of the program. Now everybody's looking at Deion Sanders. Oh, where is he? Jackson State? And they're winning. Wraps it up for Friday, folks. I'll be back on Monday with more college football on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open! Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.